The Denver Nuggets turned up the heat on Miami in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. We're here to break it all down. This is Hoop Talks. Welcome, everybody, to Hoop Talks. Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, Karina Mustafa, Noor Zainab. The gang is all back together for, what, the first time this week, I think?
No, it's not. Second time.
We're together on...
It's been so long.
How could I forget? Raptors report card day. How could I forget that day? Infamous day in Hoop Talks history. But guess what? We're not going to give you any report cards today. We got bigger fish to fry. We got... The NBA Finals, Game 1, the Denver Nuggets defeated the Miami Heat 104-93. It wasn't as close as the score did indicate. Big game, of course, from the best center in the game of basketball.
Wow. Yes.
Gross.
Killed me to say that. Nikola Jokic, 27 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds, 8 of 12 shooting. Jelani, 10 of 12 from the free throw line, something that Pascal Siakam doesn't know how to do in big games.
Why are you coming for Pascal? Bro?
You know what? Because.
Are you coming for Pascal?
That's a C plus.
This is about the Nuggets
that's
and about the Heat.
That's a C plus comeback, Jelani.
Unbelievable.
That was an A plus.
This has nothing
Justin,
to do with the Raptors.
Move on.
Okay, moving on. Anyway, Aaron Gordon had 16 points. Jamal Murray did his thing with 26 points. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 7. I had him at over 10.5. So KCP, you let me down as per usual. Jimmy Butler, rough night. 13 points, 6 of 14 shooting. Caleb Martin, no show. Max Strus put up a donut. Guys, let's go start off with you first, Noor. What was your biggest takeaway from game one of the NBA Finals?
I feel like we all kind of saw this coming. We knew that the Nuggets are definitely, it's a fact, they're the better team here. They have more depth. Mm-hmm. They have more help. They have two of the best duos in the league in Jokic and Murray. And Jokic happens to be the best player in the NBA right now. So it was going to be a victory regardless. Now, did they make it easy for themselves? The Miami Heat? Absolutely not. You saw Jimmy Butler, who I think for Miami Heat to even have a chance, Jimmy needs to be on the whole entire game. All fourth quarter, he can't be passing any shots up. And we saw him be very passive. We didn't see him be aggressive at all. He did not drive in the lane. He did not have any free throws. He didn't try to get anything in the paint himself. And if he's not going, that means the role players have too much pressure on them. And we saw Max Strus. We saw Gabe Vincent. They were completely just... they were non-factor this game. Mm-hmm. If anything, they were like not helping Miami do anything at that point. So I still think it's too early in the series. There's a lot of basketball still to be played, and things, we know Eric Spoelstra, he's a great adjustment coach. They're going to come back. They're going to have answers for them. But will they be ultimately, how can they stop Jokic? I just don't think they can. I don't think anybody really can.
Jelani, you ought to address Nikola Jokic. Second player ever to record a triple-double in his finals debut. The first one, of course, was Jason Kidd back in 2002. He was not very aggressive on the offensive side of the game at all, but yet he still dominated, Jelani. How is this guy able to continue to make an impact, even though he's not jacking up 30-plus shots, 20-plus shots? He's so efficient. How is he able to do this at the game's highest stage?
It's that court vision that he has. Mm-hmm. He's the best passing big we'll ever see. We've ever seen, I should say. We don't know what the future holds, but for sure, like he's just a different type of guy. He's a mix of Sabonis... Arvidas, not DeMontis.
Not DeMontis.
Yeah, Arvidas, Sabonis. You know, you got a bit of Walton in there, Bill Walton, all that in one. Rick Smits, you could add him too. But I love the court vision. You saw it, and he didn't have to shoot, like you mentioned. Only 5 attempts in the first 3 quarters, okay? And then he woke up when they you know, gave him zone, when the Heat gave zone, and they needed some scoring because they did creep in the Heat. They made it a bit interesting in the fourth quarter, but he still, it didn't matter if it was Bam on him, it didn't matter who else was on him, he still managed to score. But I think that's it just shows us how brilliant he is, a basketball mind that he is. On the fly, transition, doesn't matter. And I want to see what Spoelstra is going to do, because they lack size, we know that too, and they don't have a guy that's going to guard this man. They just don't. Jokic is going
to
eat.
Jokic also just never has a bad game. Like, have you guys noticed that? Even if he's not going to have a very big, you know, performance offensively, he's still making his impact on the game in very positive ways. Like, I've never seen him have a bigger, like, oh, this is a bad game.
I'd say I've never seen him make bad mistakes. Yeah.
Remember that game against the Raptors, I think, when there was in Denver or was it in Toronto, one of the games later on in the season, He didn't play well at all, but you look at the stat sheet, he had a triple-double,
yeah,
right? And I think that's just impact of Nikola Jokic. He's not going to overpower you offensively, but like you mentioned, his court vision, of course, his rebounding. He just affects all aspects of the game, and he does it, as Noor tweeted out last night, with a disinterested smile or look on his face the whole game, right?
As if he wants to be riding a horse instead. Yeah.
Now, Karina, we do have to talk about the Canadian aspect of it, not Kyle Lowry, Jamal Murray, because he actually is Canadian.
I didn't think you were okay, good. About Lowry.
Now, Jamal Murray, again, very efficient. 11 of 22, 50% from the field, 26 points, 10 assists. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed with Jamal Murray's playmaking ability last night, especially in the beginning of the game when they're really feeding Aaron Gordon. What did you make of Jamal Murray's performance? And when he's rolling like that, who can stop him?
Yeah, I thought he played with a great amount of pace. Like, mm-hmm. that was one of the things that definitely stuck out.
English is a bit of a difficulty
English
on this show
sometimes.
English
is a bit hard sometimes. I know. That was one of the things that stood out or stuck out, whichever one you want to choose.
We'll say stood out.
Stood out for me. I thought that they had, like, for me, the Nuggets, like Jamal Murray, when he's able to kind of match what Nikola Jokic is doing as well, that's when they're at their best because they're able to open up stuff for everybody else, not only themselves. Mm-hmm. Like we saw, like you said, like Aaron Gordon get his buckets too. And so I think, you know, like he was cheering up when he like heard like the media ask him about Kitchener, Ontario, and so I think that's like given him like an extra boost. Like I'm actually representing like my home, myself. I'm finally healthy on
Kitchener.
The biggest
stand
stage.
Up. I don't know where Kitchener is on the map, but stand up wherever you
it's
guys
like
are.
West of here. I don't
know. Yes, South-ish? Shout out Kitchener. I've been there anyway. Often. Anti-Marian. Shout out Uncle Don.
But like he could be like Finals MVP potentially.
Really?
Yeah.
I think look. We were talking about it the other day when we were previewing the finals, Johnny, that I think it's, we know the NBA and their media voting landscape. They're just going to pick the easy name. They're not going to think. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think Jamal Murray, if he continues shooting 50%, you know, averages around 30 and can average around 10 assists a game, he definitely deserves some finals MVP consideration. But let's switch to the Miami Heat side of things. They set a NBA postseason record with 2 free throw attempts. Not good. And Jimmy Butler, post-game, did say he really wants his team to be a lot more aggressive. Noor, could you account the Heat's lack of aggressiveness, to the fact that they played a Game 7 on Monday night and had to travel to Denver in the altitude? You know it's difficult there. Could it just be a test of fatigue, or was there more that you saw that, you know...
I think it's a bunch of things all put together, but I think what we've seen with this Heat team too is everyone has to be hitting their shots, mm-hmm. and that's the only way they can come out on top against the other teams. And they did that really well against the Celtics, against New York. Like they came out and they made those shots. That's how you're seeing the up and coming of Gabe Vincent happening right now. So those players who were supposed to come through made those shots, but it's not going to be conducive to anything until you're seeing everything work on all cylinders for everybody else out there. And like if you see Kyle Lowry came through the fourth quarter, the very beginning, he led the Heat to like 11 points or something, where it was straight just the Heat making shots. He had 2 threes and he passed it out, made all those things. But in order for them to go anywhere, you're going to see aggressiveness from all ends. And that means going in the paint, getting those free throws, and not having 2 free throws the whole night between the entire team. I think Nikola Jokic had like 10 himself alone. Yeah. And for the entire team to have 2, that's, you can't even chalk that up to having, you had 1 game off, the other team had 8 games off. But you could also say that on the other side of it, Nuggets could have been rusty.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it comes down to this is where you're at, this is what you're dealing with, you have to come through.
Now, Jelani, what do you have something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, like, I think you also got to look at the size matchup as well for the Miami Heat. They're clearly undersized compared to the Denver Nuggets, so you got to take advantage of that. You got to take advantage of all the bodies that are on you.
That's the question I was going to ask right now, if you and Jelani both want to answer this. Miami is vastly undersized in the Denver Nuggets right now, and how they need to remain aggressive, but it's also going to be hard because they're just, again, undersized. So, Jelani, can they make up for that lack of size? And if so, how do they make those adjustments going into game 2?
Well, what I want to say is I liked what Bam did. Mm-hmm. I talked to you about how important Bam Adebayo is in this series.
26 points.
Yeah, I was impressed with him. Spoelstra, he understands that game 1 didn't go their way. It wasn't just Jokic. Obviously, Gordon had that hot start. And due to his size, of course, he took advantage of the little guys that were on him, like Vincent, for example, at times, Strus or whatever. So I want to see how he's going to adjust in game 2 and moving forward. I want to see what he's going to do with Jokic, though, specifically. He's probably going to have to limit the double teaming because you can't double him. Mm-hmm. You can't have a guy hover on him when there's already a guy covering him, because that opens up the floor, an open shooter. We saw it. So probably give more one-on-one.
But then it's also again, tough because like the one-on-one with Bam wasn't really working out
it's
that
so,
well.
It's so tough to guard Jokic, okay? But you're going to want to account for the others on the court because Murray can shoot. Porter can shoot. We saw it. You know,
like,
Bruce Brown.
Do you go down the route of like just letting Jokic shoot at this point, and you defend
the
other
players? That's been
the
narrative. Like, you let him score.
Yeah.
Let him, you know, use all his gas and try to limit the other guys.
Yeah.
It works sometimes. Not that much. So I want to see how that's gonna work. Also, I have to bring him up. I like Haywood Highsmith. Hey. I think that he
23 minutes.
I've been on this bandwagon for him. I don't think there's a lot of guys on that bandwagon.
You might be the only person actually.
Yeah. But I like him in this rotation. Yeah. I really do. So probably on the wing specifically, he's gonna have his presence felt.
Well, it was kind of a blowout win. I do want to say the Heat did outscore the Nuggets 30-20 in the fourth quarter. Yeah. So take what you will. And I want to lead this into our final segment of the block called Overreactions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go around and I'm going to ask you guys for one overreaction you have taken away for this series after only one game. Noor, you want to go first?
I think what's my overreaction? The only thing I can say that might be a little bit whatever here is whatever future you think basketball has with wings, with those kind of players, maybe have a look at the Denver Nuggets. They've been the clear-cut best team in the NBA for a long time now, part of the season. They've been the best team in the finals as well, in the playoffs as well, once they took on the Timberwolves. And they're doing that playing traditional basketball with a big man and a point guard. And you're seeing how well they work together in a two-man game. So for me, it tells me that maybe teams should be looking to go a little more traditional once more. And, you know, looking at the Raptors right now as well, our team, where, like, we saw where they're trying to do that wing, you know, it's the 6-9 project, but really, when it comes down to winning anything, you just need to have good players, and those good players could be any shape or form, but it really works out when you have a big guy paired with a small guy, and they can easily either dominate the paint or dominate the interior through the perimeter, and it works out well.
You also have a coach that believes in his players and puts a system in
place. A coach that believes in the pick and roll.
Developing.
Greta?
My overreaction, I don't really fully believe this. I just want to preface it by this, but you want an overreaction, so I'll give you an overreaction. I think Jimmy Butler doesn't have any more gas in him.
You think he's done? He's cooked.
Like, the fact to me that he relied more on passing last night, I don't know if he's tired. Maybe he needs some extra rest.
He's got an ankle,
like,
injury as well.
Now that it's, like, staggered out more, then maybe something could change. But unless he steps up and is the leading scorer, I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah, no, I like that point because I know that he's been really good these playoffs, correct? But he's going to have to take more than just 14 shots. I need more than 13 points. I'm sorry. Against the number one seed of Denver Nuggets, who have a transcendent offense, he's going to have to step up. But my overreaction, Miami Heat shooting. I think that they had good looks throughout the night, especially that first half. I know none of them went in, but from mid-range, they had good looks. From downtown, they had good looks. It just they didn't convert. So maybe is that because their legs were tired from that Game 7, that long series against the Celtics? You need your legs when you shoot. Okay, maybe they were tired there. The altitude, I know it's a thing.
Chuck and Grant Hill had to have the oxygen masks on pregame.
I need to go. I don't know how legit it is. I don't know if that was necessary, but it maybe
you
it
hear
is.
All these athletes talk about the altitude are legit.
What if
thing?
The Heat came out and won the game? Nobody would be saying anything about the altitude.
Then you would say the Nuggets were rusty and, you know,
all that, but I look here. You got Caleb Martin, Strus, and Duncan combined 2 for 23 from the field. I don't think that's gonna happen, you know, in game two. I think they're gonna shoot better, so they will convert on their looks. I will still say though, it's gonna be a quick series.
Okay, well, you kind of stole a little of my thunder, guys. Everybody's saying that this is the series is gonna be over in 3 games. The Nuggets already have the title in the bag. Pump the brakes a little bit. This is the Miami Heat we're talking about, a team that's been bet against, you know, left for dead, you know, just discarded, and here they are in the NBA Finals.
You talking about yourself, Justin?
What?
you've been disregarded.
No, this is my show. I'm not disregarded. What are you talking about? Anyway, made no sense right there. Miami
lost it.
Miami Heat are giving the next two games. That's my overreaction, right? They played very well in the fourth quarter. They're going to shoot better. They're going to get a lot more free throws.
So they win one in Denver.
They're
going to
win game two and game three in Miami,
all
right?
Well, all their championships, they've lost game one.
Exactly.
So you never know.
So they're going to win game two, game
but
three.
But I just think they
have
to play
four,
a team like Denver.
Win
right
game
now.
Five, win game six. Heat in six is still alive. The dream is still alive, everybody. You heard it here first again. Heat in six.
Sadly, it's Denver in five. Sorry, bro.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
I'll say Denver in six.
I'll say nothing.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Anyway, sweet. Guys, that was an anticlimactic end to Hoop Talks. We'll see you all on Monday. Take care.
It's a busy weekend of WNBA games, and we've got the best of the best breaking it down for you on Hoop Talks. When I said best of the best, I said Sabrina Mustafa, and then we just have
someone joining us here, Justin Pooney.
I'm Rosie Knapp. No one cares.
The Aces fans love me after last week.
They don't.
I'm the voice of Aces Nation.
They don't know
now.
You like that. Who do you think you are? You thought you was Kobe? Yeah, no, you like that. Anyway, we're not going to even listen because it doesn't really matter right now. So, Karina, we've got a full weekend from Friday till Sunday, nine games taking off in the WNBA world. And there's going to be one matchup, one short series, if you may, with the Chicago Sky taking on the New York Liberty twice this weekend, once tonight and once on Sunday. And obviously that means we're going to see great players going at each other. So I want to ask you first and foremost, Cree, who are you looking at to be the key matchup for tonight as well as Sunday?
Well, for the Liberty, I'm looking at Courtney Vandersloot. It's her return to Chicago. She spent 11 years with them. She's coming back this time in a different uniform. It's got to be very weird because she was their floor general for so long. She led them to that championship in 2021. And it's like, it's kind of like a Kyle Lowry leaving the Raptors type of situation. And then it's just kind of like, ooh, this is weird. And also because like Lowry's on the Miami Heat who are in the NBA Finals. And like Vandersloot is on like a super team who like could make it to the finals. It's very similar situation. So definitely going to be looking for her matching up against Kalia Copper because Ka has now been given the reins for this Chicago Sky team. She's their leader now. She was the finals MVP in 2021. So these two are very used to playing together, but now they'll be on opposite sides of the ball. So I'm very interested to see that. Courtney Vandersloot's been averaging like 8.8 assists per game. She's had over 10 in the last two. So I'm going to be looking to see how many assists she gets because I think at one point in their last game, she had like no points, but she had like 11 assists.
Oh my goodness.
So like the amount of impact she has like on the playmaking side is much, much more impactful than like her scoring all the time. So I will be looking towards that and seeing how the Sky defend her. Because that's going to be very interesting to me.
Well, what's so funny is that we actually all got to see this guy in Toronto not even a couple weeks ago. And now our beloved, our household name, Karina Mustafa here, will be actually watching this game in person on Sunday in New York with credentials.
I haven't heard about that at all. You're going to New York? It's like you mentioned every 5 minutes.
Just going to New York.
He's not coming with me.
What are you most excited to see? And who do you think, after you've been there, is going to come out on top in this series? So Friday as well as Sunday.
Well, I'm excited to see Courtney Williams. So this is going to be a shameless plug for the interview that I did with her. I did speak with her over at, it's on the Homestand YouTube page now, about her exclusive shoe player drop that she's dropping. That was a lot of words mumbled together. But I'm excited for her because she's one of the newest acquisitions on the Chicago Sky. Like, her mid-range game is absolutely incredible. Just seeing how the Sky team has been able to mesh together this season and be successful, because a lot of people thought they were going to be very low in the rankings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I actually think they're going to be a tough matchup against the Liberty.
When you look at the books, though, they're like plus 9.5 point dogs to the New York Liberty. And I think
that much, eh?
Yeah, and I think you look at the stats, right? Like,
I wouldn't take that.
They're averaging, 76 points a game, 40% from the field. You know, they got, I like the 20 assists, you know, a game they're averaging. Mm-hmm. Six and a half steals per se. So, look, are the Chicago Sky being kind of disrespected this year a little bit?
I would say so.
Just because of those preseason expectations, now they're, you know, living up to them.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to the Mystics by 2 points. Mm-hmm. They've won all of their other games this season so far, just about. And so I'm not really sure why, especially since the Liberty just beat the Seattle Storm by only 8 points. And Seattle's, I would argue, is maybe a little bit lower than the Chicago Sky right now. So yeah, I would say that maybe not enough respect is being given to the Chicago Sky right now. They're a gritty team who has found ways to get wins. They found ways to mesh together, even when they still have players like Isabel Harrison out. She just underwent surgery. So without even having everybody, with being a new direction, I thought they've performed much better over expectations, and it seems like those expectations are still pretty low.
And I think especially early in seasons, we talked about last week.
Nobody can speak English today.
Well, right? When you look at the teams like the Liberty and Aces that made these big offseason acquisitions, it takes a bit of time for them to gel. And they've been gelling very well, both these teams. But you look at the team like the Chicago Sky, like they could, you know, they could take the Liberty. I don't know if they're going to win this game, but they could make it close. If I was going to bet on this game, I'd definitely take the Sky plus 9.5 just because of the way they've played. They've played close games all
season. They're at home.
Exactly.
Too.
They're at home. Mm-hmm. And they played close games all year, pretty much, like you mentioned. So this could be a game where I don't know if they'd win, but it'll definitely be a closer than game than expected.
I think it's going to be a good matchup for them and a good test to see where they are right now with this team and where they want to keep going. At the same time, also for Liberty too, to see like, okay, well, we got this new team together, but we also, they're still dealing with injuries and people being in out of the lineup too. So they're going to get to see, like, this is going to be a good matchup to see, okay, where are both of us at right now in terms of our own standings. I'm excited to see Dana Evans. I think she's going to be a rising star for that team as well. But as I said, there's going to be a bunch of games on this weekend, and lucky for them, because a bunch of them will be also playing back-to-backs. The Mystics and the Sparks will have a game tonight as well as tomorrow night. So there's going to be a really quick turnarounds there. What the WNBA did, thankfully, recently.
Thankfully.
THANKFULY. Thankfully.
Is that right?
It's how spelling bee champion.
We can't speak, but we can spell.
But what they did recently, and thankfully they did that, is they realized that, like, we can't do this to players. So the WNBA this season has now implemented chartered flights where if you are going to have overnight back-to-back games somewhere else, different cities, they will give you those chartered flights to make your convenience, you know, better. And also to give you that comfort factor. So I want to ask you, Cree, you've obviously seen the ladies of the W, like, having to go take on those normal flights, economy, and whatever it takes, the coach, and having to kind of, we've all taken flights. We know how how exhausting those are. Yeah. Just being a person and having to do normal things. But if you're an athlete and now you're taking a normal flight with, like, people like us, but now you have to go there the night after you've played and then be ready to actively go on the court and put your best foot forward, that's tough to do because you're not going to be sleeping well. You're not at your best comfort level. So how do you think this will translate on the court for all these ladies that now can have the convenience on their side?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good step towards growing the charter program, and maybe eventually once we do the CBA renegotiations as well, maybe making it even bigger. But I think that, like, if you think about the recovery time for an athlete, like, dealing with the commercial flights, dealing with delays, like, there's been situations where teams haven't made it to their destination and like they've had like 48 hour delays.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's very hard to do as an athlete. Like, traveling in itself is already hard. Like, just think about when you go and you travel and you're like adjusting to time zones, or you're adjusting to like a different bed that isn't yours. Like, it's all these little things that I think that the charter flights just takes off a little bit of stress in that area. And, like, whether or not that translates to the court, I don't think there's any concrete evidence as of yet. But, like, I do think that because they are professional athletes, they should be given every opportunity to make it as smooth as possible.
Absolutely. We all know what you guys talked about. We all know what commercial flights are like. They suck. Yeah. They're horrible. Like, I hate it. I hate flying.
And they're taller, too, and they're, right? Yeah, like, they're pro.
Imagine you're sitting in a flight. Imagine me. I'm sitting on my flight tonight, and a professional athlete sitting next to me. Just imagine that. These are professional athletes. These owners have all this money. And, you know, last year we saw Josiah get fined, what, $500,000 for trying to get, you know, his squad on a charter flight, which is absolutely ludicrous to me. The fact that these ladies don't have the chance to fly chartered is absolutely crazy to me. You know, the pandemic is pretty much over, but still, there are still health and safety precautions you got to care for on a plane too, right? And when you have people that you don't know what's going on with them, what type of illnesses they have, and, you know, the plane is one of the most common places you can get sick, right? To have a pro athlete like that, a whole team that could get affected by an illness like that, that could be like, your season up and like change your season on the
entire LA Sparks team was out last week because all of them were sick. It wasn't a COVID related thing, but literally like 10 players were sick.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you could have these athletes in a controlled environment that's more comfortable for them, I don't know if you guys ever flown a charter flight. Sometimes when you're lucky, when you fly cross country, you do get lucky. Sometimes they do accidentally give you a charter plane. I've done that one time. It was actually crazy.
Oh,
like the seats are way bigger and all of that. It's crazy. I would definitely recommend it if you ever get lucky.
Big time, Justin.
Yeah, let me try it out next time I go on a
flight. Yeah, sometimes you just get the luck of the draw, right? But what I'm saying, it's just, these are high performance athletes.
Yeah.
They should be treated with the utmost amount of, you know, care, and because, like you said, they're the way they're how taxing their body goes through the season. The fact that, you know, something as small as a charter flight could help out a long way. And I think it's something the WNBA needs to implement for all teams to have charter flights, because they are pro athletes. They are high performance athletes.
Would you say that would
athletes.
Be like the next step moving forward to make sure that we are changing the landscape for women and like making yeah. everything more comfortable for them, to ensure that we're prioritizing their comfort and their convenience, right? So we already said yeah. like it's a back-to-back thing. Like the next best thing would be, would that be like making sure that now you get them permanently, like you just get charter flights
absolutely.
Altogether.
I think that's absolutely yeah. the case. Like you should, yeah. you need to do that, because that's the next step in evolving the league, to make sure your athletes are taken care of, right? And when you have pro athletes in these leagues, you look at every major sports league across North America, player safety is such a huge thing now, right?
Yeah.
Why is the W not doing that, right? Make sure your players are taken care of in the best way, that they can play games where, you know, fans will come to games to want to see the biggest stars. They want to see a Breanna Stewart. They want to see a Courtney Vandersloot. They want to see these players come to these arenas and come to these cities. Well, take control of it and allow the league needs to allow teams to take care of their players to make sure they're available on a night-to-night basis. And I think they have to do that.
And my last thing on this is, like, it all comes back to the CBA. Right now, in their CBA, they've negotiated that all teams need to fly commercial economy because that's, like, the
fair
level field, yeah. whatever you want to call it, because no, it's economy. No, it's like, I think it's like, I think the most is like premium economy or something, but it's not first
so
class.
You get the salted nuts rather than
but
the,
it's also just like all of these flights, it's not like they're huge flights, so like not that there would be first class on these like really
yeah,
small flights.
Not
it's
exactly.
not really like, I don't really think that.
And what
mentioned.
I'll say honestly, for me, sometimes it feels like the W is even further behind than college sports, because if we're
well,
looking
yeah.
at
college
sports,
players,
they fly on private planes.
Well, not
yeah.
just that.
Planes.
Let's look at how these girls can also make their own money now with mm-hmm. the NIL program, name, image, likeness. These young ladies who are in college right now in college sports can go out and make their own money. And we're seeing Angel Reese do just mm-hmm. that. I think she's going to be the epitome in the front and center of what the future of these young athletes will look like, and people who make their own money and who are in charge of their own finances. And I was scrolling Twitter the other day, and out of nowhere I see her in the Cardi B video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I know she was making bags, but I know she was making pop culture bags now. That's to me, that's like, that's so cool to see that someone that young, someone that talented can now get the resources to put herself in a better position, because we knew a couple years ago this was not the case for college sports at all. Like
yeah.
they couldn't make any money out of anything, and they had to get other jobs and get funding to make sure that they could stay afloat the whole way through. So I want to ask you, Cree, do you think what Angel Reese is doing right now, is this a one-off? Is this something special that's just related to her? Or do you think that she could now be the template moving forward for other women, men, other kids who are growing up in those college areas to kind of like, they can model after that?
Mm-hmm. I think it's the latter. I think she's setting a precedent mm-hmm. for what it means to be a college athlete and what it means as well to be a Black woman. And representing that side of the culture as well too, I thought that's so important. Like her run with LSU to the championship this year was amazing. It put so much attention onto the tournament itself. It put a lot of attention onto the athletes, because even her teammate Flauje, like she's also like, she's rapping with like Lil Wayne, like mm-hmm. and she's
yeah.
like she was a freshman. So like all this stuff has been really, really cool to see, and like seeing her continue to grow. Her personality is amazing. Like it's just what basketball needs, and I think we're gonna see even more support for women's basketball, but not only women's basketball, but also all the other sports
yeah.
in the NCAA, because mm-hmm. I think that's the important part of it here.
This is the biggest thing in college sports now, the NIL, the transfer portal. And the NCAA's might be the most fraudulent organization of all sports, where they rip these kids off, mm-hmm. making billions of dollars off kids' name, likeness and images and stuff like that. And the fact that Angel Reese, you know, her NIL value before the season was like $370,000. Now it's $1.3 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? She's got over almost 4 million followers on social media now. Everywhere you look, you see her. She's on commercial with Zion. She's,
mm-hmm.
of course, music videos now. She is everywhere. And the fact that you're able now to make money off your name and your likeness. Imagine that, guys. You could make money off your name, off your face. Imagine that.
This is
right?
just talented. This is just
imagine
sweet.
That, right?
He's like, that's just. He's
but she's but look,
right now.
She's got the charisma. She's got the game to back it up, and more could make as much money
Check
as you can.
Rings.
I'm a firm believer that if you have a certain skill set, you should maximize that to make the most amount of money. And Angel Reese is doing that right now. And like you said, you're seeing it on the men's side of sports, but now she's the trailblazer for the women, right?
Mm-hmm.
She is going to set records for NIL deals. And if
Even
I'm her
basketball overall,
yeah,
she's
basketball,
the most.
You
like,
saw just how big the women's Final Four was. and how much money that brought into the NCAA, but look how much money that brought into her as well. And that's why it's so important for these college athletes who give all their time up to hone their craft. They can't get part-time jobs and go to school, right? That, right? They have to live off of, like, before, you know, you always heard horror stories about athletes that, you know, didn't know when they were getting in their next meal. That's why we saw so many violations by athletes, because, mm-hmm. you know, they sign an autograph just to get some money to buy a pizza, right? Yeah. The fact that now these players are able to do that and utilize their skill set, their name, their charisma to make money, it's amazing. And quite frankly, if I'm her, I'm staying in college as long as I can and collect as much money as I can, because I'm making more money in college than I would in the WNBA right now.
My take on that, you got to be careful with that, because even though the WNBA salaries are not where it is with mm-hmm. NIL stuff, players still continue to make deals,
of course,
outside
endorsement
of the salary.
Money
and I think
like that.
That's something that gets missed a lot, because everybody's like, oh, I would stay in college for as long as possible, because, like you just said. But in reality, like, if you see players like Aaliyah Boston, who signed with Adidas, like, she's still making that amount of money mm-hmm. because you're like, your name, image, likeness,
of course,
that extends way beyond your college career.
Yes. Yeah. So at the same time, we could see something like the W take a little page out of even Angel Reese's book on marketing. Look at how she marketed herself, but look at where she is now. But we talked about the amazing amount of WNBA games on this weekend, but also make sure to check out Karina Mustafa's little interview with Courtney Williams, where she talks about her new shoe. You can check that out on homestandsports.com, on our YouTube page, even on Karina's Twitter. That'll be down there somewhere below. You'll find it in the beginning of video, now, whenever. And we'll catch you guys next time on Monday to talk about the weekend games in the W on Hoop Talks.